Welcome, and thank you for standing by. All participants are in listen-only mode throughout the duration of the conference. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this point. Now I'll turn the meeting over to our host, Marty Flannery. You may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining me on the call today and for joining on a Wednesday at 11 o'clock instead of our usual Tuesday time slot. I hope everyone had a very enjoyable and restful Thanksgiving. Although we weren't able to gather in large groups this year, as many of us are used to doing, hopefully you were all able to find ways to connect with safely with family and friends despite COVID-19. Along with other members of the VNSNY leadership, I've been watching the COVID-19 numbers in our region very closely, as I'm sure many of you are as well. New cases and hospitalizations continue to rise steadily in our area. Statewide, the positive test rate in New York is now around 4.5%, and on Sunday, the state reported over 3,500 people hospitalized with COVID and 54 COVID-related deaths. The positive test rate in New York City is slightly lower. The seven-day averages for different boroughs range from 4% plus on Staten Island to just under 2% in Manhattan. But the numbers are trending upward across the city as well. You've also been hearing a lot about vaccines in the news. I want to assure you that we're very focused here at VNSNY on making sure our own staff has access to a COVID-19 vaccine as soon as one becomes available. But that's still a bit away. And so, like the rest of the country and the world, we have to try to manage this COVID surge in the meantime. Regionally, New York and the surrounding states are now taking steps to ensure that there are enough hospital beds to go around as the number of COVID patients rises. This means that hospitals are beginning to cut back again on elective surgeries as they did last spring, which is going to have an impact on our own non-COVID patient census. The rise in COVID cases also means that our own caseload of COVID-positive patients is going to start trending upward as more COVID patients are discharged to our care. We've begun to see a slight increase already, but our numbers are still fairly low. I'll provide you with some updated figures on this in next week's conference call. The COVID surge in our area also means we can expect to have more of our staff diagnosed with COVID, and we're seeing that as well. Another 24 staff members tested positive for COVID over the past couple of weeks, and we're carefully keeping track of their progress. Overall, a total of 508 staff have now been diagnosed with COVID since the pandemic began. As we navigate the challenging holiday period ahead, it is essential that everyone adheres to strictly managing our clinical and self-assessment protocols. We're taking great care to maintain a 90-day supply of all types of PPE, and we just reordered a large number of three-ply masks and N95 respirators to maintain that level. I also want to remind everyone that our CERT team is always on call to answer any COVID-related questions you may have. The CERT hotline is posted at the top of the Partners in Care resource page on Frontline and on the COVID-19 homepage on the VNSNY intranet. And I'll give it to you now as well. That hotline number is 212-216-9970. At the same time, it's critically important that you take every precaution in your daily life, including keeping socially distanced and wearing a mask whenever you're away from home, and washing your hands often. As Governor Cuomo noted in one of his recent briefings, small gatherings now appear to be the major driver of new COVID cases in our area. So please be extremely cautious when meeting up with anyone outside of your immediate family. To help you and your loved ones stay safe, rapid COVID tests are now available for all staff who want them on a walk-in basis. The testing schedule and locations for the next 10 days are posted on the COVID-19 section of the intranet and on the Partners in Care resource page on Frontline. So you can look there for details. But to give you a general idea, rapid COVID tests are being offered at our 42nd Street location. Actually, the Partisan Care entrance at 245 East 41st every day next week during business hours. Tests will also be available at our Queens office. Thursdays and Fridays this week and next week at our Staten Island on Monday through Wednesday of next week and our Nassau office next Wednesday up until 1 p.m. Again, look at the chart, get the exact days and times that are posted on the intranet and on the Partisan Care resource page. And you can get your flu shots at many of these locations as well. Check before coming in for testing. It's quick. It'll take about 15 minutes for you to wait out your results. You'll have to load an app, but this is a quick way for you at no cost to get your rapid COVID test done. With this latest COVID surge, it's also vitally important for everyone to get their flu shot if they have not already done so. We had set a deadline of yesterday, December 1st, for staff to either get vaccinated or submit a declination form. Just under 2,400 VNSNY staff members have met that deadline for a compliance rate of 63%, and about half of all Partisan Care staff have done the same. Now we need everyone else to comply. Getting a shot this year will help avoid confusion about whether someone is showing symptoms of COVID when, in fact, they may have the flu. Plus, having a flu shot minimizes your chances of getting the flu, which no one wants to have. You can find complete information on where and when you can get a free flu shot and how to submit proof of your flu shot by clicking on the Fight the Flu banner on the VNSNY intranet homepage or by going to the Partisan Care resource page on Frontline. I also want to mention that we now have the results from our final employee engagement pulse survey of the year. 76% of all VNSNY staff responded to the survey, which is one of our best completion rates ever. So thank you all for that. Your survey feedback is invaluable, and I really appreciate it. An email summarizing the high-level results of the survey just went out to all VNSNY staff, and your managers will also be sharing department-level results with many of you. As usual, we have two support calls for Partners in Care Home Health Aides this week, one that took place yesterday at noon, second one Thursday at 1 p.m. Our all-staff support call will be held this Thursday morning at 10:15, and there will be a parent support group meeting this Thursday afternoon at 4. Any staff interested in joining the group, including our Partners in Care Home Health Aides, should email Leah Bloomberg, and she will send you an invitation. There'll also be a support call next Tuesday for staff who survived COVID-19. That call will be Tuesday, December 8th at 4:30 p.m. As I mentioned a minute ago, over 500 staff have now been diagnosed with COVID, including a number of very new cases. So that support call is more important than ever. And you can find all of these support call numbers as well as Leah Bloomberg's email address on the support call page in the COVID-19 section of the intranet and on the Partners in Care resource page on Frontline. So that concludes my update for this week, and I will now turn to the questions that were sent to the COVID-19 conference call email box. So the first one, good morning. The workflow to deal with capacity issues can be quite challenging. First, for the home care coordinators to wait for a case to be set up in order to know the assigned team wastes precious time. This presents an additional stress for late referrals, especially if capacity needs to be cleared. Next, the teams get understandably annoyed with the HCCs releasing cases, but when we send out emails to them, it's imperative that they respond to us promptly. There are times that I have sent out one or two emails concerning capacity issues for patients, and I do not receive a response. It's not acceptable to read an email and not respond. In addition, it would help if phone numbers on the branch directory were updated now that most team leaders are working remotely. This current process utilizes precious time needed to work on cases, call patients, and respond to case managers. Moreover, case managers in our hospitals are getting frustrated by our capacity issues and want to refer to other agencies or make dual referrals. please assist with a better workflow for HCCs to address the current capacity challenges, and thank you for your time. So I hope that this issue has been addressed directly in the operation. I would hope it would have been, and I'm sure Andrea, who will be speaking in a moment, will follow up to with Sue Caputo and Jennifer Brullo to make sure that these issues are being addressed. But Andrea, anything you'd like to address in relation to this concern?
Yes, Marky. Good morning, everybody. This is Andrea Castellanos. I'm the Chief of Provider Services. And I want to let the writer of this know that both business development and CHA operations realize that this is a challenge, and they've been meeting frequently to identify ways that we can improve the process. Today, it's a manual process, and we're looking into potential solutions to help streamline and improve the process, and we hope to have a systematic way to do this in the very near future. We do understand it's important to communicate regularly and provide accurate information. I do want to say that when you get an email, you have to realize with a question like this about a patient, there's somebody on the other end waiting for a response. And not to answer or respond to an email ever or in a timely fashion is really irresponsible and unacceptable. And so everybody does need to realize that when somebody asks a question in an email, a prompt reply is really important. Somebody's waiting, again, for a response that involves the patient on the other end. So it is my hope the teams are working on this. We hope to get a systems solution to our capacity challenges. And we do and will continue to have some capacity challenges for obvious reasons, right? More of our staff are testing positive for COVID, and we hope that there is an end in sight to that. We know that there is with the potential of the vaccine coming, but we're still in the COVID, you know, period of time where people are being exposed. We have leaves of absences. Vacations are coming up for people, and people are getting primary exposures that have been unprotected, primary significant exposures that have been unprotected. And so all of that will lead to capacity issues that we are having and, quite frankly, every other child in the city is having. And so we are trying to manage all that very carefully, and it is a complicated issue. So thank you, Marky, and thank you to the writer for being so eloquent about asking the question.
Thank you. So next question. Good morning. The parking permit is expiring soon. Is there a chance that it's going to be extended again? So I certainly hope so. And this question comes up every week. And we are advocating to get the parking permits extended again and ideally made permanent. Our experience with the city is that they wait until the last minute to give us a response. And that's happened on multiple occasions now. And my sense of it is it's probably going to happen again. But that doesn't mean we're not trying. We are continuing to advocate to get these parking permits extended and made permanent. And as soon as we get a response, we will be letting you know. Next question. I would like to know how to bank the 2 hours for Christmas Eve. Marion, can you address this question?
Yes, I can. Good morning, everyone. This is Marianne Haas, SVP Human Resources. And the instructions for how to bank the 2 hours of Christmas Eve time in the event that you are unable to take the time off on Christmas Eve will be released shortly. I'm not going to go through them in detail right now because they depend upon your status. So watch for that announcement that does come out every year. It is set up so that you're able to do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question. My question has to do with quarantine status. If the healthcare worker, PT, has a family member that tests positive for the virus, asymptomatic with no symptoms, what is the expectation for the PT or healthcare worker? In this household, all members tested negative with the exception of one of the children who is a minor. Said positive minor was asked to quarantine for 10 days, and the rest of the minors, said negative, were asked to quarantine in the home through December 20th with remote learning from school. Said healthcare worker, a PT, contacted the CERT team and was advised to go to work since the PT is negative with no symptoms. What is the expectation for the PT who has been exposed and is living with a positive case, even if the PT dons PPE, isn't the PT putting other patients at risk? Tony, can you respond to this question, please?
Yes, good morning. This is Tony Dawson, the Vice President for Quality and Customer Experience. So a number of different things. So first of all, we ask you, yes, you can continue to work. We ask you to make sure that you are filling in and completing healthcare assessment each day before you come to work. As long as you have no signs or symptoms and wear the appropriate PPE for the patients you are taking care of, you can continue to work. If at any time you develop signs and symptoms, then please call the CERT team immediately and stay off work. As for taking care, obviously this is a complicated issue because you're at home with somebody who's positive, and the piece on that is to maintain as much social distance as you can. Obviously, if this is a child, that's difficult to do, but trying to isolate children at home is certainly a challenge. But as much as you can, maintain your distance from them and or wear a face covering or mask while you're in the home with them. That will decrease your exposure to or your potential exposure. Thanks, Marky.
And Tony, this person could also take advantage of our COVID testing on a regular basis, right?
Yes, that's exactly, Mark. I'm sorry. Yes, you can also come to one of the regional offices that we have testing up and running in, and we can test you on as many times as you want to get tested. So please do that, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question. Good morning. I decided to send a picture of the PPE face shield that we're being provided in a start of care kit. This is inadequate and looks like something my daughter would make in her arts and crafts class. Please advise that this does not provide protection needed to provide care. Michael and Tony, can one of you take this question?
Sure. Actually, I can take this. This is Tony. I've already emailed Sal this, and these are old from before. We have much better face shields, so please just come to the bag rooms and we will issue you an appropriate face shield, and these are from before. So we absolutely have better ones than you sent us in the picture. Thank you for sending this.
Yes, and Marky, if I could just chime in along with Tony.
Sure.
Every time you pick up a COVID bag from the bag room, take the time to open it up and check the PPE that is in there. If there's something that you are uncomfortable with, right then and there, make the change. Occasionally, and it shouldn't be happening often, right, there are masks or face shields that are from when this all started back in March or April, and we've got better PPE now. So take the time to look in your bag and correct it right there. And the bag rooms have been told to be responsive and swap out if a change needs to be made. Thanks, Martin.
Thank you. Next question. Patients are uncomfortable inserting our reused thermometers in their mouth during COVID. Can VNSNY issue us digital skin thermometers? This is much more sanitary. So I know this question's come up before. Tony, can you take this question?
Sure, good morning. So we sent out a comm about this a couple of weeks ago. You should not be reusing thermometers. If you're bringing a thermometer to the patient's home, that patient should be using that thermometer. That should not be reused on different patients. We have we have lots of thermometers in stock, so please only use the thermometer for that individual patient. Do not be bringing them from home to home. Thank you.
Thanks. Next question. how long does our patients that were COVID-19 positive continue to be noted as such under the point care visit alert? For patients that had COVID-19 months prior, it's misleading sometimes, confusing when there is no documentation to confirm or deny that the patient is still COVID-19 positive. Some patients still have this alert on their charts. Some staff and disciplines are only making calls to these patients while others were given in-person visits. This was an issue during the COVID-19 pandemic as well. As a field staff, I'm suggesting that the point of care visit alerts be updated. Either Tony or Andrea, can you address this question?
Sure, Maki. We could take this back to our clinical team and have them take a look at it. It's a fantastic point, and if we're not updating this alert correctly, it's really important that we do. So we'll take it back and make sure that we have these updates in place as appropriate. Tony, I don't know if you have anything to add.
No, we update so that we could do this, but I'll follow through with the child leadership team to make sure that we're keeping ahead of that, especially now. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question. Do we need to make an appointment before getting a COVID-19 test at a VNSNY site? So, no, you do not need to make an appointment. Look up the dates, times, and locations to identify where the testing is being held, because it's not at every site every day. So please check on the calendar to see where it is on the day you're planning to go get your test, and you do not need to make an appointment. You can show up, and they're not very busy, but if they're busy, you might just have to wait for the person who administers the test to be ready for you. Let me see if there's another question. FACTS app. It would be so convenient if field clinicians could get an app on the tablet or phone for faxing instead of taking the time to travel and park when making a trip to the office. Sometimes I need to fax applications to a doctor to sign on behalf of a patient or fax for other reasons. Thanks. So I'm not sure, Michael, if you have any knowledge of whether or not this is available.
Hi, Marky. I'm Michael Bernstein. I don't know if it is available. I do know that we will do what we do with the questions that we can't provide the correct answer in this format, is take it to the right people. In this case, we have people within our IT department who understand the applications that can be loaded onto tablets or VNSNY-issued phones with potentially a faxing app solution. So it's a great idea because it will save time and make everyone more efficient, and we'll see what can be done.
Thank you. Next question. Why can't Partners in Care set up at 1199 location in downtown Brooklyn, New York, to give rapid coronavirus testing? So our employees provide the testing at our locations. So if Partners in Care employees would like to get these rapid COVID tests, and I hope you take advantage of them, you would need to look at one of our locations and get your testing done then. If we were to go to an 1199 location, we would have to test anybody who showed up, and we don't have the appropriate waiver to test people who are not our employees. So, again, all of the Partners in Care staff are welcome to take advantage of these COVID tests at all of the locations, and we have locations across the city now where there is availability to get the COVID test. Anyone want to add anything to that before I move to the next question? Okay, next question, which was answered already. Just wondering if there were any updates on extending the parking passes. It's been a real lifesaver. I've heard that parking passes are available from the city for nonprofit agencies. So we did receive the parking passes from the city in the first place, which is how we got them and how we were able to provide them to our staff. So we have not yet received word on whether or not they're being extended. beyond December 31st or whether or not they are going to be made permanent. It is something we are continuing to lobby for. We have never stopped lobbying for it, but our experience with the city is they wait until the last minute to give us an answer, and we're hoping that that's not going to happen, but we do not yet have an answer. Next question. I recently received the Abbott Labs rapid COVID-19 test at 41st Street and thankfully tested negative. Can you speak to the efficacy of the Abbott rapid test? Are PCR tests available as well? If not, is there a plan for PCR tests to become available, especially for field clinicians? So we do not have plans to provide the PCR testing. Those would have to be made, done at one of the sites available throughout the city, either through the Health and Hospitals Corporation that is doing this testing for free, or other locations that would be have to be done at employee expense because their health insurance is not going to pay for routine testing. In terms of the Abbott rapid COVID test efficacy, we have just a couple of minutes left in the call. Do Andrea or Tony want to speak to that or perhaps provide some information separately?
Marky, I think we what we can do is provide the information. I want to get it completely accurate. The efficacy of the rapid test is less than the PCR test. It's, I believe, somewhere in the 80% range, somewhere between 80 and 89%. I don't have the number memorized, so we can get that. What I do want to say is that there's a fantastic website that New York City has called nychealthandhospitals.org/test-and-trace, and we can post this. And that website tells you where you can get tests from Health and Hospitals Corporation and other testing in the city, and it also tells you the wait times for Health and Hospitals Corporation testing sites. So it's a really good resource. It tells you by zip code where you live, where they all are, what kinds of tests they are, et cetera. So let's post that in the answer to this question, and we can get the exact efficacy for the APID. The Abbott rapid COVID test.
So just repeat that site again, Andrea, since you just mentioned
it. So it's nychealthandhospitals.org/test-and-trace. That's the website. And again, it has all the testing locations by zip codes and the wait times for the Health and Hospital Corporation sites and the types of tests that each site is giving.
Terrific. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to mention, it's Miriam, we have posted that already on the COVID-19 site on the intranet, so you can find it there under COVID testing.
Oh, terrific. Thank you. Next question. Some hospice patients and families have asked for visiting staff to show proof of negative COVID test at the time of the visit. I understand the NSNY has recently provided increased access to testing. Are staff expected to show proof of negative test upon request? Thank you for taking my question. So there is no requirement that staff show proof of negative test upon request. And there is no requirement that staff be tested, unlike what is required in the nursing homes and assisted living facilities. If you get the rapid COVID test at one of our sites, you are loading an app on your phone, which will have the results, but it is not an expectation to show proof of a negative test upon arrival in a patient's home.
Mark,
so
can I also add to that?
Yes. Certainly.
Just add one more thing. If you do not have the app or you do not have access to the app, because we don't have that at every site, we're also giving you a letter to say that you are either, that you're negative. So we will give you proof that you've had a test. And that's, so you will have that information.
Great. Thank you. So with that, it's now 11:30, so I will conclude our call, and I thank you for your engagement, and please continue to stay safe, and hopefully you'll be able to join the call again next week. Thank you.